From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast with RP Ranger Prowl, the Assets episode. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Of course, audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. A lot of things going on with the New York Rangers. A lot of things going on around the NHL. We talk about the trades within our own squad with Matt Zuccarello, Kevin Hayes. We could go to with McRae as well to the teams that they got and what the Rangers got back. And was it enough? Was it not enough for the foreseeable future? And then all the trades around the NHL the last couple of days has been kind of crazy, man. So with the Blue Shirts hockey, the last couple of games versus the Minnesota Wild, you had a game versus the Devils, the Capitals. Then you got an upcoming game Wednesday versus the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. So a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces for the New York Rangers, the Blue Shirts. And then just to, let me speak on the fan reaction of it all. A lot of fans in particular really emotionally attached to Matt Zuccarello, a very fan favorite. And it was almost sad for those fans, for those Ranger fans who were really close and very in tune with Matt Zuccarello for all the hard work, his grittiness on the ice. And for him to get traded to the Dallas Stars and the Rangers get back with that conditional pick for 2020 in the draft, in the third round of the draft. So, you know, the Rangers, they did pull the trigger. And it's time to have that dialogue to see, did the Rangers get a couple of the games, the Wild game, the Rangers lost, you know, losing that game, but nice bounce back win versus the Devils on Saturday, and the game they could have stolen DC versus the Capitals, had their chances in the overtime, could have cashed in, and then the Rangers fall in overtime, get the 1-point loss versus the Capitals. Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. A lot of things to discuss with our squad and, of course, around the NHL with the trades. RP, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Everything's going pretty well, you know. I'm glad the trade deadline is over. You know, yeah. It was like you were saying. I was listening to you as a, you know, before I came on, and you know, Ranger fans. I mean, all fans are invested in their favorite players and their fan favorites. For the Rangers, and Zuccarello was a little bit more than that. You know, he was everything you wanted a New York Ranger to be. So it was hard to see him traded. You know, you knew it was coming, but still when they made the announcement, you felt that little pit in your stomach. And the last time I felt like that was when Brian Leetch got traded to Toronto. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was, 95, 96, or whatever it was, 97, when that trade happened. So you can understand that, you know, some of the fans get a little, not carried away so much with the trade, but what they should have done not to trade them. And it's just not where the team is right now, rebuilding wise and for the future. So I see both sides to it. And, you know, I've met Zuccarello, my family met Zuccarello. So he sincerely is the guy that you see on the ice and that you hear talking. So you feel lousy they got traded. It was a tough one to swallow.
Right. And unfortunately, and I think you have posted about this, with him getting injured in the game versus the Blackhawks in his first game. I know he got a goal in that game too.
But he had a goal, I think, 2 assists, definitely a goal and 1 assist. But yeah, it was a, you know, it was a real freaky injury, Steve. He took, it looked like he was sort of blocking a shot and not, and hit him, it looked like in the back of his right arm, where his arm comes down to near the wrist. And I mean, he stepped into the shot fully, and you knew he was in trouble when he got hurt, when he finished the shift, the period ended. It was a 20 seconds left in the second period. And you could tell he was in trouble when he came off the ice. Everyone was hoping it wasn't broken. But Duke said, because I read one of his interviews before the surgery today, and he said he knew something was wrong. he said it wasn't like something he had felt before. So, you know, just a tough thing.
Yeah, it really is. And for them, well, he's going to be out, what, maybe a month, 3 to 4 weeks, is it?
They're saying four weeks, but I don't know if the injury time to heal is 4 weeks or if he'll be able to get back on the ice in 4 weeks. You don't know. So it's a tough thing. I mean, for Dallas, it's even more discouraging because they're looking to make a good playoff rush. And, you know, they know what Zuccarello brings to the game every night. And to only get him for two periods is that's a killer on that side if you make the trade. So,
right. Now, on the business side of things, what about the Rangers? Do you feel you could live with the 2019 second round draft pick, the conditional in 2020 in the third round? Do you are you content with that side of the business transaction for the Rangers?
For that one trade or for all the trades?
We'll start with Zuccarello.
I think they got a really good deal with the Zuccarello trade. I mean, you have to see what other teams are doing and what's going on, but it was a good pickup for them. I mean, they got a second round pick, as you said, a conditional third round pick, which could change depending on how far the Stars go in the playoffs. I think it was a real solid pickup for the Rangers for a team that's looking to now use these draft picks to either make some good selections. Gordon even said now that they may even be willing to trade some of these picks for the better players that will move up in the draft and a lot of opportunity. So, I mean, let's be realistic. Zuccarello was a great player, but he's a rental player for all intents and purposes. So I thought it was a good trade. I thought Gordon did a good job.
And what about the thoughts on Kevin Hayes going to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange? Brendan Lemieux, I believe that's Claude's son, Claude Lemieux's son.
It is.
And if you want to, you know, I only remember watching Brendan Lemieux in the last game we played the Jets in Winnipeg, watching him in that game. That's all I really have on Brendan Lemieux for the most part. But if you want to expand on what type of player we got or getting back for Brendan Lemieux, and what about the Rangers? The first round pick in 2019, that will be this year. So that's probably a late round pick and a conditional. I think it was 21. Was it 21 or 22?
It was a conditional fourth round pick in 22. Right.
All
right.
So it's deeper in the draft. So
it's deep in the draft. What you have to also remember is there were only two first round draft picks moved at the trade deadline this year, and the Rangers got one of them. So it shows you how tight a lot of these teams were giving up that number one pick. So from that standpoint, again, Winnipeg trades a first round draft pick for a rental player in Hayes, knowing that Hayes is going to be looking for a 6-year deal. And I don't know the cap situation with Winnipeg, if they're not even discussing a contract extension right now. They're just looking forward in the playoffs, which is, of course, you know, what you would anticipate. Brendan Lemieux is a tough, rough kind of a hockey player. He likes to get into the scrums. He can battle. In his AHL career, he was, he could put the puck in the net. He could get some points, but he doesn't back down for anyone. He's that tough guy that if it works out, the Rangers need in their lineup. These 20 games remaining or so is going to be kind of that hockey where the team sees what they have and see what they need to get better on as you get into the draft and into the summer. Their picks also change depending on how far Winnipeg goes.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that works out for with all these deals. So I think that was another one. Gordon had said, I'm sorry, I'm watching Winnipeg play on NHL Net, and they just showed Hayes in his 12 jersey, and it looks very strange. But that's just something we have to deal with. It does. Tell me, did it not look weird to see Zuccarello in the 36 green and white jersey?
It looks weird. It
was wrong. It was just, I'm the same thing. I'm a fan before anything else. It just looked wrong that he was wearing that jersey. But I was thrilled that he scored a goal. It was great to see. You know, these guys had a real tough couple of weeks knowing they're going to be traded. And that's what I was elaborating on. Kevin Hayes had said he knew for the last week that he was definitely being traded. They tried to work out a deal. Both sides knew it wasn't going to work out. The Rangers And you have to understand this from a business side. The Rangers are probably, what, 3 or 4 years from hopefully getting a real good deep playoff run. It didn't pay to give Kevin Hayes a 6-year or a 7-year deal when you really don't anticipate them going that far in the playoffs in the next 2 or 3 years. It's a decision that the organization has to make. You could see both sides to it.
Fans
and a lot of fans, social media has been, it's been a barrage of good and bad. Horrible trade. I hate the trade. Why they do this? It's just how it is. But from the business side of it, the Rangers did what they had to do. The three UFAs that they had, everyone knew they were going to move. In the situation they're in, you need to get the draft pick. Because right now, that's how this rebuilding is working. And the more picks you have, it's better for the team down the road. For now, it kind of feels up like it did last year when they traded Nash and they traded Grabner and they traded Holden. And you sort of felt like they conceded the rest of the season, even though they were in striking distance of making the playoffs. Now they're 9 points out of a wild card. But the Rangers do have a lot of problems, as well as a guy like Kreider and Zibanejad are playing. They're still struggling a little bit on the blue line. They're still making those little mental mistakes. So this season, they pretty much figured you weren't going to make the playoffs anyway, which is a legitimate thing to suggest. And I think that the trade was what had to be done, as hard as it was as a fan to accept it and to realize it. And now it's time to get back to hockey a little bit.
And they should. And to your points, and we've discussed this for several weeks, maybe a month and some change. If you feel, or if the organization does not feel there's no future in these guys, you can't just let them walk. And they did what they needed to do. You had to get something back. You have to try to retain some of these assets. So business wise, they did what they had to do. I think the Zuccarello deal makes a lot of sense. As far as the value of the pick and where Zuccarello was as far as age, his production. And then talk about a Kevin Hayes to get a first out of it. That's pretty good as well. I also believe, I'm always a firm believer. I would have kind of – see, Hayes wanted a really a long-term deal, and I know Brian has spoke about that last week. I kind of looked at it, and you said it a little bit as well, I believe, 2 weeks ago. With Kevin Hayes in particular, you're rebuilding. Yes, you're not where you want to be as a franchise. You want to, move some guys so you can let these younger guys who are in the farm system, guys who are on the second, third lines, come up, get more playing time on the ice. I thought Kevin Hayes, for what he was as a two-way player, obviously at this point we know without knowing for the most part. They didn't see a future in Kevin Hayes, although I kind of thought it was more so you could use him as a building piece. At least he's only 26, and it's not like he was long in the tooth like that. And the thing about him in particular, he was on the incline. It's not like he was 22 and he was on the decline. He was kind of on the incline. This was his best year as a Ranger. So I thought that would have been somewhat of a piece. You could have had cap space regardless. Whether you had you signed them to whatever kind of deal at a different, at a good rate. So that's probably one thing I kind of slightly disagree with, because I thought he would have been a good focal point in the rebuild, if anything. But hey, they're moving on. I just don't understand. Maybe that's one thing. If you know the answer, if you could let me know, what is it about they didn't see in Kevin Hayes? I can understand Zuccarello, but what is it about they didn't see? Why didn't see it in Kevin Hayes? When obviously we've said it for all season, and a lot of people have echoed this, whether they are Rangers writers or people who follow the NHL. Kevin Hayes was the best Ranger, two-way Ranger of this year. So was it about the Rangers that they didn't like or see moving with Hayes in the future? What's your thoughts on that, if you know?
I don't know. I thought if they were going to keep him, they would have signed him when they were eligible to do it in January. Because once he signed that contract in the summer, he couldn't. When nothing was really going on there, right at that point, I thought these two sides are much further apart than anyone's letting on. You know, when you sign a contract in the summer, like, oh, we'll address it in January. We'll be able to work something out. And when they had all that time to figure it out, and they had it. It was concerning. The one thing, I mean, they got the first round pick, and they sort of got lucky that they got a first round pick out of it. If they weren't able to come to an agreement, I don't know why they waited so long. I would have thought they would have traded Hayes in January if they weren't going to sign him, when they really could have taken advantage, maybe even got a roster player back in return along with it, because, you know, you make the first trade and you sort of set the pace for the trades and the whole deadline situation. Going down to the last couple of hours, I don't know why they waited that long. I don't know if maybe going thought somewhere something was going to change. And you have to be realistic, it really wasn't going to change. Maybe they were waiting to see what happened with Mark Stone from Ottawa. That was a different situation. Stone had more points, a little bit more experience, a little bit more productive on a weaker Ottawa Senator team. But back to the question that you asked, I really don't know what they didn't see in A's. I mean, I was typing back and forth on Twitter earlier tonight, and I said, you know, they drafted him, and I think it was in 2010. And this year and even last year, they finally got him to where you wanted him. Penalty killing, face-offs, offensive zone threat, the whole thing. And then you trade him. That is the part that sometimes irks me that the Rangers have done. Why get these players right to they were, and then because of the contract and the rebuild that you move them? But the Rangers are really committed to this rebuild. They're really not forcing it. They have a game plan, and I give Gordon credit. As hard as it is, especially in the New York market, with all the media and all the backlash from the fans and everything I'm sure that he's reading and hearing, to stay the course. Past Ranger teams in years, we all know they haven't done that. But as Ranger fans, we're not used to being the sellers. We're used to being the ones that make those trade deadline moves to get us deep into the playoffs.
Right,
and now
right.
The last two seasons, we're on the other side. We're always selling. And when you sell, it kind of feels like you're giving up. And that's not the case. They're setting up their future, and you have to rely on the scouts and the organization to make the right drafts and the right trades to finally get over that hump and start winning. And it looks like they've done a lot of good things. You look at last year's picks. Kravtsov's having a great season in the KHL. You had Hedl before that. You had Anderson before that are doing well. Keandre Miller before he got hurt in Wisconsin. Yes, they're a couple years away, but you constantly hear these guys' names over and over. And that means, I think that means that the scouting department did their job. Nils Lundqvist is having a great year in the Swedish Hockey League. These old guys are going to be out future. They're going to be Rangers. So you hope that progresses. You know, you and I ripped them for drafting Kravtsov. But now, months later, it really looked like a good move. It really looked like they knew something, obviously, that we didn't, because they saw this guy a lot. He's got a lot of promise. He's a good scorer. He's playing well in the KHL. There's a lot of promise coming up. Sometimes that's hard to deal with. So I think at the end of it all, the Rangers decided it was better to stay the course than to sign Hayes. We'll see how it goes in this year's draft again. The Rangers, Steve, have a lot of draft picks this year. They have 5 in the first 2 rounds. They have 2 first-round draft picks. So they there's a lot of potential to really grow. And that also goes, we didn't talk about it yet, with the Adam McQuaid trade. That was another good trade for a defenseman, another UFA. You know, going to Columbus, they get Julius Bergman, who's going to go play at Hartford for now. They get a 4th-round pick in 2019 and a 7th-round pick in 2019. So they got exactly what they gave up when they traded for Adam McQuaid.
Right.
I think that's a really good, considering what was out there, and, you know, for a rental player again, to get 2 picks from McQuaid was a really good move. These are picks that you may say, well, what's a 7th-round pick? But that might be a pick that's thrown into a bigger trade come draft time or come in the summer, you know, depending on how they use these picks. So, again, I really give credit to – I thought Gordon had a really good trade deadline moves. He got value out of all his – you know, he got good return out of all his plays. And if you put your personal feelings on the side, they did really, really good. So I think now the hard part comes. Now what do you do with these picks? That's where you really see if all of this is worth it. kind of out of our hands now, totally, as fans, as writers, as bloggers, as podcasters. It's in the hand of the scouting staff and what they all decide is the best moves here. I expect the Rangers to have a really good summer. I expect them to really pick up on their defense because they're really hurting. The blue line is just not good.
Without a doubt.
I don't know why. We've gone through this how many seasons now? When we think it's getting better and it's getting better and it's not. There have been some really good things. I mean, D'Angelo's playing really well right now. And if he can keep it up like this and keep improving, you know, ever since that last benching when he said he wasn't mature and he had to find his game and the coach wasn't happy with him, well, he's come back and played quite well. I mean, he's scoring a lot of points. I read some record the Rangers have, they're like 8 games or 9 games over 500 when D'Angelo's in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are promising things. And now we finish out this season. You know they're going to be competitive. Now all this drama is over with because let me tell you something, Steve. It doesn't matter what they say to the media. These last 2 weeks have been hard on everybody.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Not even the players that are being traded, but the teammates that are left behind. It's a tough thing knowing, you know, when Zibanejad might have said it best, he went on the warm-ups against the Devils and Zuccarello wasn't out there and he was healthy. He said reality hit them right there.
Right, absolutely.
That was probably
healthy scratches.
You know, it was going to happen eventually. But it's a tough thing, especially when you start sitting players that are healthy because you know they're getting traded. So now that that's all done with, you know, like you said, the Rangers played good against – they didn't play great, but they played well against Washington. They got a good point out of it at the last minute on a nice play by Shea. And let's just see if they can continue to grow and get better. You know, they may not make the playoffs, but you still got to play good hockey. You can't. There are no gimmies. The Rangers are going to make every other team work hard if they want to advance into the playoffs. And I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but then again, 9 points out isn't horrible. Anything can happen.
Right. You know what? Because last week's episode and yourself and Brian, we discussed it as far as how the Rangers play mentally with this on their minds. And I thought they were shaking that Minnesota game. The Devils game was kind of weird in a way because the Devils, in a sense, were in the same similar boat as the Rangers. Now, I'm not 100% sure as how close some of those plays were before they were traded, but they were, you know, the Rangers had their, you know, healthy scratches and they got out to a quick, 3-0 lead after the first period. They played well, especially rebounding after the Minnesota game. And then, of course, the Capital game, they really got off to a fast start with that beautiful pass from, was it VC to Kreider? I mean, Washington's a low, so you know you're going to have to score to beat them. And I thought the Rangers had their chances, their opportunities, especially in overtime, especially tying that game as well. Brady Shea offensively had a great game. There were some defensive lapses, and we could get on some of these fours that dropped the ball. But, you know, it was a rough week. Not a rough week, but it was, you know, it was ups and downs all pretty much from Thursday to Sunday. How did you look at these games mentally, how well they played and – you know, Minnesota game, the Devil game, the Capitals game, the game they did get, they could have stole 2 points. I thought, I mean, that's the part in the game in the Washington on Sunday that where I thought they could have stole the 2 points because they were down 2 goals and they fought back right before the end of regulation. Well, what's your thoughts on each game, Minnesota, the Devils game, the Capital game? What's your thoughts on all three, and especially with this cloud, this trade cloud over the franchise at that time?
Well, I think the trade cloud had a tremendous amount to do with it. I also think you got to remember the Devil game was two. The Devils and Rangers are similar
right.
in style, similar in where they're playing. So that was a much more even match game. The Capitals game, the Rangers were not playing well early at all, and then found their game, like you always say, when the team is healthy and they're all playing on the same page, they're a really good squad and they can do a lot of good in a hockey game. And that's what I thought happened in that game. I thought they really battled back hard against the Capitals. They were playing smart. They were trying to stay out of the box because taking penalties against Ovechkin is not what you should be doing. And you know, yes, you wanted to steal the 2 points, But I was still that they got the 1 point because it just wasn't as much as they were forcing. It, when the Rangers pull their goalie, they don't often score the goal, so it was great to see. The Minnesota game just had everything go against them. That was just – Minnesota looked faster. The Stahl played really well. They have a lot of weapons on that team, and it showed. You could see the difference of where the Rangers are and where Minnesota is. Even though Minnesota only has two more wins than the Rangers in the standings, they looked like a much better prepared team that night. Could have just been an off night, but that was just a game that they just never looked comfortable. Even though it was 2-1 going into the third, it just didn't – it was just a weird hockey game. You couldn't put a lot to it. I mean, the Rangers had a power play goal, but that was it. And when you don't score 5-on-5, it's hard to win any game in the NHL. So, you know, I mean, it's unfortunately at this part of the season, it's sort of the same thing over and over again. At this point, you know why you're not winning, and sometimes you can prevent it, and a lot of times with the Rangers, you can't. Also, Minnesota was due for a win because they were on a 5-game losing streak. That was the game. That's right. That was the game when Sam Rosen said that Minnesota hadn't scored in 7 periods, and then bang, we were down 1-0. I think it was right after he said it. And Minnesota had him 1 in 5 games, and everything was against the Rangers. Doomed to make 33 saves, and that's the kind of hockey that happens with the Rangers way too often. But that's what happened. So I expect them to play better now that the dust has settled, the trades are done. Unfortunately, they're playing the best team in the NHL tomorrow night.
I was just about to say that.
Tampa Bay is going to give us fits. Everyone's waiting for them to collapse and go into the slump, and I don't know if they're going to. They're just such a solid four-line hockey club and great goaltending and Stamkos. You can't say anything bad about anyone on the team. They're just playing incredible hockey right now. Doesn't mean that the Rangers won't come out and, you know, play their style of hockey, but it's a tough opponent for any team. For the Rangers that are now going to have a couple of more rookies in the lineup, and the defense is struggling. I like that he's putting Gorgiev back in. He's played really well the last 5-6 games. I think he should. If it was me, I'd alternate the two goalies the rest of the way. There's just no need to bury Hank with games when you want to see what Gorgiev really has. And it's something that Lundqvist has to get used to. Because, you know, I don't know. I'm sure he'll be the number one goalie next year if Shesterkin does come to New York, the Russian goalie from the KHL. But either way, there has to be a point when Hank starts to relinquish being the number one. And he should get used to it, too, because it's going to be a different environment for him next season and the season after. So there's a lot of learning still to go on. There's a lot of adjustments that the head coach is going to have to make. And it's going to be interesting. Another thing we haven't talked about, Steve, is that he's obviously, and when I say he, that's Quinn, is not happy with Filippito. And never mind, is he a healthy scratch for tomorrow, but he thinks he's going to be sitting for a couple of games, unlike last time when he sat him for 1 or 2 and then got him back in the lineup. He's just not happy with his – the worst thing you can hear a coach say, I mean, it's a good thing because it can be fixed, but he doesn't like his intensity level. And it's not a skill thing, and he's not saying he's not happy with this or that. He doesn't like his intensity. He doesn't like his focus on the ice. And sometimes when it happens, the best thing that you can do is sit in the press box and watch a little bit. And as a 19-year-old rookie, that's going to happen. And it's the perfect time to teach him this. You know, it's not costing the team much. He should be able to learn from it. I saw an interesting tweet today that showed Tim Vanajot having some words with him. And I think it was in the last game right after a power play when something, you know, it was a quick little GIF, so you didn't really know what was going on, but Zimbanejad was really heated as they were skating off to the bench. And it was showing that, you know, Hedl's at that level now when he's almost played a whole season. You can't keep saying he's a rookie and he's a kid. Playing with the big boys, he's got to be treated like a big boy.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's all good. I think they're going to get a lot out of it. I don't think Quinn has given up on the season whatsoever. You know, being as a rookie coach that he is, he's going to have his team constantly battle. And like I said, things might happen. You get a little bit of a win streak. Maybe some teams start to slump a little bit. A lot of teams, especially in our division, didn't make a lot of moves. So I don't know if the Rangers made enough moves to be that much better. I really don't think they did. But it's not to say that they're not with, you know, they're still in a striking distance of the second wild card. And we'll see what happens if they can, you know, at least get closer and make it a battle.
Yeah, we got three tough games. Like you said, it seemed like we just played the Lightning. I don't know. But anyway, we played the Lightning, like it seemed like last week. It feels like a rec league. Like, we're playing the same teams, like, every other week. And yep. Then I believe it's the Canadiens and the Capitals. So it's like the Capitals and back-to-back Sundays, in a sense. And then we got the rematch. Yeah. We'll have the post game versus the Stars and no Zuccarello in that game, even though that game's in Dallas. So we're talking about 9 points, and I mean, it's a tall task to really try to say to get back into this thing. You'll never know if you skate hard. You know, you don't never know when the puck may bounce your way. But this is a tall order in the sense of these three particular teams. I think Montreal has played well as well as of late, and they're definitely in the hunt. So three teams that are really in the Eastern Conferences in the playoff picture, they're making their, I guess, their final stretches of games, and the Rangers have to go up against that, and you're talking about 8-9 points down in the standings, man. This is really, really tough. I mean, making these moves business-wise, it makes sense for the foreseeable future, but I mean, I don't want to say they're going to lose. I will say this. They're going to have to play the perfect game to win, you know, just to have a fighter's chance versus a team that's been clicking all season long in the Lightning. We just saw them a couple of weeks ago, it seems, or even last – I can't even remember. It was like, I don't know, 10, 14 days, whatever it was. Let me go, because I've been excited. The NHL trade is crazy how everything in the last 3 days – has been musical chairs within the league. Columbus really caught my eye, RP. I don't know if you kept up with the trades with the Blue Jackets. I know we talked about McQuaid going there, but what about all these other trades, whether it's the Blue Jackets? I mean, they made deals with the Devils. I know Keith Kincaid went there from the Devils. We talked about Adam McQuaid. What were the trades that caught your eye? I saw Wayne Simmons going to the Predators. We know about Kevin Hayes going to the Winnipeg, which really makes the we always harp about Kevin Hayes on the special teams and the spaceoffs. You put pair him with Dustin Byfuglien, especially on the PK. I mean that's a stronger unit. It was already strong. It's stronger. What other moves? You like?
Let's see. You said one that I want to touch on really quick. The Columbus Blue Jackets are going all in probably one of the hardest years to go all in.
Yeah, they are not playing.
You know, they didn't move. They didn't move Panarin, and the Blue Jackets and John Davidson, was their GM, did what the Rangers weren't willing to do. And I don't understand it. I have to be honest with you. How are you willing to let a 27-year-old Panarin walk away for nothing? Which is, in essence, what probably is going to happen. Because since they didn't trade him, he can go anywhere he wants. Everyone. They're already talking about he may be overpriced for even the Rangers to look at with some of the other contracts that are going on right now. He's more or less can write his own ticket. They better win the Stanley Cup this year because they got two UFAs that they should have moved in Panarin and Matt Duchene that they didn't. And they're not going to be able to sign both of them, number one. And it's very – I don't understand. I know they wanted to win now, and, you know, they got Kincaid from the Devils. They got as you said, they got McQuaid from the Rangers. Nice trades, nothing dramatic or that big. They're really betting that Panarin's going to carry them as he has. Cam Atkinson's having a great year. They also did what – they don't have – a first or second round draft pick in this year. They have one pick this upcoming draft in the first 7 rounds. They only have one pick this year. So it's, you're going all in. You're probably going to lose your two best players on the team in Panarin and Duchene, and you have no way to replenish that. Mm. They have no first, no second, no fourth, no fifth, no sixth, or no seventh. They have one pick in 7 rounds, and it's a third-round pick at the top. It's it's very, it's friggin' crazy. You know, they were talking about it. Yeah, it's great. They went all in. They're willing to do it. You're going all in a year where Tampa Bay is having one of the best seasons in the NHL ever, top five probably. You got a plenty of threats in the on the West with, excuse me, with, you know, Winnipeg, Vegas is coming around. Nashville got stronger. I don't know what they were thinking over there. I was surprised. I guess they were willing to go for it at the bottom line, but to give up what they gave up with no draft coming up, and it's very unusual to see in the NHL. And it's not like they're a dead-on favorite to win the cup or anything. I mean, right now, when you look at the standings, they're not even – I don't even think they're in a playoff spot right now. So they were the biggest surprise to me that they didn't move. You know, they would have definitely gotten a first-round pick for Panarin, probably for Duchesne too, but absolutely for Panarin. Right now they're in the third wild-card spot, 1 point behind the Penguins. Okay, they're 1 point out of a wild card. They're looking at a wild card spot to make the playoffs. That's a long road to go to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, so never mind win the Stanley Cup. So that, to me, was a big shocker of the trade deadline. And the other one is the Mark Stone deal, him going over to Vegas and then signing that huge contract. I mean, he didn't land in Vegas. And I think it was I forgot what the numbers were, guys. I'm sorry. I want to say it was 7 or 8 years for around $9 million a year. I mean, they gave him a huge contract. That's why they're saying Panarin's going to walk from Columbus. Because if Stone got that, well, Panarin's saying, I can definitely get that.
Right.
And that kind of put that one signing, excuse me, puts the whole trade market and the whole summer free agency in a flux. Excuse me. Because now you're talking about a big contract for some of these guys like Panarin. So that one deal kind of has a ripple effect all throughout the league. Other than the
sure
Vegas deal, which, by the way, I thought was a great deal for Vegas. I don't think Ottawa made out as well, but it is what it is. They knew they had to move the big guy, and they got the best deal that they could get out of it. Like you said, Simmons went to Nashville. That was another last-minute kind of a respectful trade for him. You know, they put him to a team that's always in contention. He can definitely help that team win with his aggressiveness. He's really good on the power play. He's a big guy in front of the net. I mean, we've seen him for how many years give the Rangers fits. So I think he's going to do great out there. I really do. So kind of surprised the Islanders didn't make any moves, anything of value. Lou Lamoriello didn't want to disrupt the flow of the team. They're tied for first place.
What about a team like Toronto? I don't remember hearing any noise from them.
Toronto didn't do much either. I think they made one or two little minor trades. I can't find my trade tracker. I forgot exactly what Toronto did. But they're pretty content.
I don't remember.
They're you know, Austin Matthews or Kadri, Tavares, they're set. I mean, there's only so much you can improve on a team. See, them I could see not making a move. Because they have
why not though? Are you saying that
they could afford
a couple of seasons? You're saying, or how do you look at it like that? Maple Leafs.
I just think they're just happy where they are. You know, sometimes the right trade is no trade. You know, the scoring goals, the playing as a unit. Overall, the team is scoring a lot of goals. They have good goaltending. It had to be a real smart move for them to disrupt their lineup they have now. It would have been a big score, a big play. So, and I didn't even read a lot of quotes about Toronto, which kind of was weird. They were very quiet. And, you know, something, I'm sure Babcock didn't want them to make any moves, knowing him. He likes the team that he has and all, and that's what they went with. So your guess is as good as mine why those teams didn't make it. I did read a quote, like I was saying, about when Lamoriello was saying something to the extent he was happy with. He didn't want to disrupt the chemistry of the team and background that and the resume that Lou Lamoriello has. Who can argue with him? Let's be realistic. The man knows how to win. He knows how to win with not having superstars on the team. He did it in New Jersey for so long. So I don't think anyone could really second guess what he said and what he can do. So I mean, I'm not going to second guess him. I'm one of the smartest men in hockey. So if he thinks they're good where they are, hey, then so be it. Who are we to judge? I mean, the rest of the season will dictate that they're in a good spot. They're going to make the playoffs. And then when you look around, I mean, there were some big moves, but the big moves was the players that Ottawa had, Stone. The Rangers were all talked about so long with their three guys. And there weren't any big, there wasn't that big blockbuster trade that, you know, I didn't believe there was that big blockbuster trade. You know, last year I thought the McDonough-Miller deal was right at 3 o'clock at the end of the deadline, and it was a big trade, and they made it. But you didn't see that this year. It was kind of par for the course. You know, the Rangers knew they had three guys to move, they moved them. Ottawa had guys they had to move, they moved them. I guess you could say Columbus was a little bit of a surprise because they didn't make a move. But other than that, it was not a weird one. There was no blockbuster trades. It wasn't someone that said, oh, look who that guy went. When you look at all the trades that happened, it just wasn't a lot. It just wasn't much out there. So now we wait
and see. So what does it do for the West teams? Let's look at, you know, Vegas. You talk about Mark Stone. You talk about Winnipeg and the additions they had, Nashville. How do you think this is going to play out going down the stretch before we even get to the playoffs?
Oh, I really think Stone is going to help. Vegas isn't playing really good hockey, and they just – George McPhee is another smart, really smart GM. He made the right moves. He had a lot of draft picks to move around with from the expansion draft and so forth. So I think Vegas is setting themselves up for a really good run into the playoffs. I think Nashville's setting themselves up, as they always do. You know, some of the teams are the same. I think Winnipeg is struggling a little bit, even though they picked up Hayes. I mean, Patrick Laine hasn't scored. They lost again tonight to
Minnesota tonight.
They gave up two goals in the last minute and a half just now.
Right.
Man, I mean, it was just a total lie. I mean, the last goal was a jam goal. The tying goal was a strong goal. When you're in the West, you know, you look at the same. St. Louis is playing really well right now. They're up there in third place, 74 points. Their division's really tight. But, you know, the team that we always talk about that we're, like, really impressed with, the Calgary Flames are having just a great year. Johnny G's really got his team playing well out there. I mean, they're 40-16. They are having a really solid season. You know, still way behind Tampa Bay, but but everybody is. So Tampa Bay's already got 100 points, and they still have 20 games to go. It's an amazing season they're having. But
I'm sticking with Winnipeg, though. That was my pick.
You know,
at the beginning
funny
of the season.
Sticking with Winnipeg, but they're in second place in their division and all, but they better find a way to start finding some wins because they're struggling big time. And they're not that good on the road this year. They're only 16-14. They're incredible at home. They're 21-7. Today was only their seventh loss at home. But on the road, that 16-14 is not that good, so they better try to keep that playoff position because they don't want to fall below when they have to start the playoffs visiting. San Jose, we haven't really spoken about. They didn't do a lot at the trade deadline. They're having a solid year, too. So it looks like some of these teams are a little bit content on going with what they have. Dallas has been struggling. They're the first-place wild-card team. They went after Zuccarello, which was going to be their big acquisition, and now they're kind of going to be where they were before the trade deadline came about because he's out. The Wild have been playing good. They just signed Eric Staal to a 2-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the second wild card spot, but they're tied with Colorado. You know, the Avalanche, an up and down team, but for the most part, having a good season, and they're definitely within striking distance. So the West is tight. The West is really tight. I mean, even Vancouver's got themselves 4 points out of a wild card when they were struggling, and Chicago's all of a sudden playing some great hockey, even. So they struggled, you know, early in the season. They fired their coach. They didn't seem to have their game going. But, you know, 61 points. They have 18, 19 games left in the season to go. Only 5 out of the wild card. they're definitely in striking distance. And then after that, Edmonton, Anaheim, and the Kings. The Kings are just falling apart. They had a horrendous season, and it shows. I read somewhere today that the bottom three teams in the National Hockey League all got demolished tonight. I think the Kings lost. Ottawa got beat up, and I forgot who the other team was. So
who the Kings lose?
Starting to see the separate.
Did they play Carolina?
Kings lost to, yeah. The Kings lost to Carolina 6-1 tonight.
Yeah, I told you they could score. So Carolina can put it up, man.
Carolina's been really – they're playing really well. So, it's – I mean, they're in third place. Who would have thought that from when the season started?
That's not too much of a surprise. I mean, this division was deep, and it sucks that we're in a rebuilding phase. I would never have guessed the Islanders, especially – I mean, we were here in this offseason.
No one
did. I would never have guessed the Islanders was going to be in the first place. I figured the Capitals would have been on a little bit of a Stanley Cup hangover, maybe second place, first base – you know, first place or second place. I would have thought Pittsburgh was probably going to be at, you know, one of the third – you know, probably the third team, not a non-wild card team. And there's probably still a lot of hockey left. But Carolina, I think people – I ain't saying, you know, our platform, but I think a lot of people do sleep on Carolina because they don't get the buzz. We see them all the time. We play them, and you see them. They play, you know, they can score.
Right.
They score a lot of goals on us early in the year, and then there's sometimes where if we play our game, we can contain them. But they could be a force to be reckoned with, man. They could be a thorn. But the Islanders is probably the most surprised team, in my opinion, this year in the East.
Oh, yeah. And they've scored so many goals. I mean, their differentials are plus 30 on goals for and against. They're just it was like they put in their head that we're going to show everyone we don't need John Tavares. It was like and you want to know something? Let's be realistic. Barry Trotz is a good coach. Got this team playing his style of hockey right away. They bought into
right
it
away.
Right away.
Right away.
Right away. And that's what they needed. They needed that quick start, which they got. They're playing. Look, they don't really have a home rink. Brooklyn's a problem for them. They don't win a lot. You know, they don't get a lot of games in the Coliseum. But their home record at 18-8, considering they're playing two different places, that's pretty damn good. I mean, you know, they sort of lose that home ice advantage because no one really likes them playing in Brooklyn. They don't have enough games in the Coliseum. The whole thing at Belmont's falling apart on them. They're going to split their playoff games in the first round. It's a very unusual situation, but they're not letting them that ball. And they just go out there every night and they play their game. Tonight they lost to Calgary. Calgary's a good hockey team, let's be realistic. Their schedule is getting tough too. Now they play Toronto next, another tough game. Of course, that's the whole John Tavares coming back to the Coliseum and all that crap. So it's going to be an interesting Thursday night for the Islanders. But overall, like you said, they're playing really well. The Capitals are tied with them at 79 points. The Capitals have played two more games. And Pittsburgh is right behind. It's tied with Carolina in points, too. So, it's as always, these last 20 games really make it enjoyable to watch.
You know, you brought up the points. I want to go back about Columbus, all the moves they made. I mean, it is mind-boggling that for that to be had. They are on the outside looking in. They're right there. But, I mean, it's really competitive. I mean, Montreal – I think they're going to have to, you know, Montreal and Pittsburgh in their way, well, in particular Pittsburgh, because of the division. I don't know. That's a crazy, because I don't remember or recall a situation of all these moves, unrestricted free agents, you did not move, and you have to leapfrog teams. And I can understand if you're in the pitch, you're clear cut, and it's going to take a miracle for you to fall out, but they actually have to do a little bit of climbing and a lot of legwork with new pieces, new parts. It's going to be real interesting to follow their progress between now and the end of the regular season. And then the Toronto thing, I thought they should at least tune something up. They said if it's not broke, don't fix it. But they were in control of the second place seed in the Atlantic for a majority of the season. I think one of those guys got hurt. I think it was Matthews that got hurt. And then they kind of fell out of the picture a little bit. That thing with Boston leapfrogging them, I thought they could have added a couple more depth on their third and fourth lines, honestly. They weren't playing as great like they were earlier in the year, and I thought they had a chance to go for the long run and go on a long playoff run and make some trades. But hey, so the question is, and we said it all, you know, it seems like every other week about, is anybody going to be able to clip off Tampa? I'm thinking RP. It's hard to say right now because they're playing so well, but you've seen this NHL, man. I mean, anybody can be beat. And even if it is in the first round, it's almost like a whole new slate, a whole new season. If you get into the playoffs, it doesn't matter how many points you had in the regular season. We're the same. We're on the same ice. We play you, you play us. Let's go at it. You know, I like Tampa Bay, and I'm hoping they win. That was who I picked to win the Stanley Cup anyway, over Winnipeg. And, you know, of course, that actually favors for the Rangers when it comes to the conditional pick. It's going to be – I don't want to say it's hard. I'll put it like this. I'm going to watch the rest of the regular season games, and I'm going to really, really – because it's so up and down. I'm going to watch these games, and then I'll say this team may have a shot at clipping more. It could be Washington. I don't see it right now because I thought Washington last year, especially they were really a complete team, especially with that head coach with Barry Trotz. They were really flying around, and I don't see that type of team right now in Tampa Bay's way. They were hitting the crap out of the Lightning last year. I don't see those teams right now. It could change, but – do you see any sleepers in the East?
Good question. Sleepers in the East.
What do you even call?
You
want to
know? I tell you something.
Pittsburgh sleeper. It's hard. Well,
you call Pittsburgh. You call them a sleeper only because you can't really call them a sleeper because even though they're in that second wild card spot, they're 1 point out of third place, which would put them into third place in the division and take them out of the wild card. So at any time, Malkin and Crosby and Letang and Murray and that, they're far from a sleeper. Playoff-wise, I don't think there are any sleepers. I don't think there's going to be that much maneuvering around. I mean, I guess you're really looking at Philadelphia might be able to do something if they pull another hot streak. I doubt it. I mean, they're at 67 points, so they really would have to pick it up. But no one else is going to do anything. Buffalo kind of fell. They had a good early part of their season and went out. Florida's not doing anything. The Rangers, Devils, Detroit, and Ottawa. So unless something dramatic happens, here's the interesting thing. Between Tampa Bay, we know, has it locked up. Then you have Boston and Toronto, Montreal, Pittsburgh. You have Columbus on the outside looking in right now. One of those teams aren't making the playoffs.
Right.
Okay, I couldn't tell you. Columbus right now is battling Pittsburgh and Montreal for the two wild card spots. That Columbus is 2 points behind the number one wild card spot. So someone's not making a playoffs out of those teams. Be freaking hysterical. Not if you're a Columbus Blue Jacket fan.
Oh, that'd be true.
After all this, Columbus doesn't make the playoffs. A total catastrophe. I mean, they might even consider firing JD on that one, and I'm a huge Davidson fan. I don't agree with him not moving those guys. If they don't make the playoffs and they traded Panarin is one thing and got some draft picks back. But what do you do if you don't make the playoffs and you only have one draft pick in the next seven rounds going into the summer? You can't even make a trade. You're going to trade Rouse to play after losing Panarin and probably Duchesne? You put yourself in a real tough spot. You know, right now everyone can say, oh, it's a great gamble. We're looking forward to it, this, that, and the other thing. And then when you don't make the playoffs or you don't go far and you go into the draft in June and you're sitting at your table for hours doing nothing. I mean, you can't move up in the draft. You can't move down in the draft. Unless you want to move a high-quality player, you're screwed. So I think there's more pressure on Columbus than anyone over in Columbus is letting on. I mean, Tortorella's done a great job, but he can only do so much, especially when the season's over. How do you improve? How do you move on? Your farm system isn't that deep.
I totally agree.
No one's farm system is that deep. So, to me, the East is really interesting because out of those teams, who doesn't make the playoffs? You got to think it's between Montreal, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. Toronto's got 80 points. Boston's got 83 points. And we already know Tampa Bay's got the division locked up. So, you know, like you said, and then it goes back to what we were saying about the Rangers. the Rangers have to play competitive hockey because they're going to be playing all these teams, and those guys are all going to be battling to make it into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So, good. You know what I mean? You could be good or bad on any night. Anyone could beat anybody. So, I mean, these are all pro teams. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm following that to see what Columbus does. Everyone's going to have their eye on that, knowing where they're going after the season and knowing the gamble they took with the Panarin deal.
One more thing before we get off. I don't sleep on Colorado to make the wild card. I think they might get in. They've had excellent. They had a good season last year. Of course, we talked about that. They had some all-stars, a couple of guys for the first time, Rakkinen, and of course we talked about Nathan MacKinnon. I won't count them out of the West. They should
not at all,
you know, especially with this Dallas, the situation with the Dallas, the Stars. I mean, it's a logjam with the teams in the Central Division.
Sure.
So I don't count them out at all. Matter of fact, I expect them to get in. I expect them to get in.
And I tell you, in that division, Steve, Colorado has an incredible chance to get in. They're tied. They're not in the second wild card spot because of wins, but they're tied in points with Minnesota for the second wild card spot. And they both have the same amount of games played. So they have a great shot. And let's be realistic. The Coyotes have a good shot. They got 63 points. So they're only 3 points out of the second wild card spot. They're only 4 points out of the first wild card spot. And Vegas, who's third in the Pacific, they have 69 points. So Dallas is only 2 points behind Vegas, and they're playing Vegas tonight in Vegas. So that division's just as tight, if not tighter, than the East. I mean, that conference, excuse me. So, this is the great, great part of hockey. It's fixed that the Rangers really aren't in it. So, you don't have a vested interest in it. So, we're just watching hockey. There's going to be some great battles going to the end of the season. But Colorado has an incredible chance to get into it. I like you said, they've been there before. They have a great team. They know how to win. So, it's going to be
score.
I mean, that's great.
They're a better scoring team of all the teams that are kind of like on the outside looking in. That's why I look at their chances as better.
Yes.
So I favor them.
That's for sure.
Minnesota, you brought up them. You know, they show some guts in the end of that game versus Winnipeg tonight. And they were in the playoffs last year versus that same Winnipeg team. Dallas, man, I don't know how they're going to respond. I know they won the game in Chicago. I know Chicago's been reeling, and they got the game, like you said, versus the Golden Knights. You know, I expect Colorado to get in. I'm not 100% sure how this thing is going to be between Minnesota and Dallas or whoever's left. But RP, we're almost out of time. Final thoughts, real quick, and then we'll wrap up.
Just be patient with the Rangers. My final thoughts. I think they're going to have another good draft. They have a lot of great players coming up next year. Kraftsovs will probably be here. Shestorkin's going to be up here. The kids are playing well. I think Quinn's doing an excellent job, and especially this year in a tough situation with all the trade drama and all. He continues to teach and communicate. The Rangers are going to keep, they're going to compete in battle. Unfortunately, it's going to be a second year out of the playoffs, which we, as fans, no one enjoys it, but we're not used to not at least getting into the playoff competition. So that's something that we're just going to have to deal with in another long off season. And you know something? It's still a rebuild, as much as we're tired of saying it. And we'll see what happens. You would think after this summer and after this draft, that term rebuild will be over with. Now it's time to a year and a half, 2 years of it. Now, really a year and a half since last February to now and to the end of the season. And you hope the Rangers will start making those moves to get back in the playoff contention and step up. So, keep on following me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the articles myself and my team write for Elite Sports. We'll keep writing them as much as we can. So I appreciate all the support. And until next week when we figure out what's going on after these couple of games.
Absolutely. We'll be back next Tuesday for the post game versus the Stars out there in Dallas with Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with RP. Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Of course, iTunes Podcast, Republic Tuning, your Stitcher apps. We'll be back next Tuesday, RP. We'll have some game action to discuss. And in the other three games in between that, with the three home games versus the Canadiens, the Lightning, and the Capitals. All right, Sangre also, ladies and gentlemen. Blue, blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.